Hello, everyone. I am Xinling from University of Utah. And I will going to talk about the project on migratory compression. This is a joint work with several people from EMC. So in this project, we worked on improving compression. Traditional compressors works by finding redundant information within a certain distance. And the distance is usually also called the window size. The problem with traditional compressors is that they use very small window sizes, and that similarities across a large range will not be identified. So we propose migratory compression. It is a coarse-grained data reorganization to group similar blocks together to improve compressibility. This can be used as a generic pre-processing stages for any standard compressors. And we also found that in many cases, it improves both compressibility and the throughput. And when using this technique for archival storage, we found that this is effective to improve compressibility and reduce its cost. So here's the background. In this work, compression factor means the ratio between the original size and divided by the complex size. And the throughput is the original size divided by complex time. And the table here shows three common compressors we looked at in two. They are GZIP, BZIP2, and 7Z. In the table, we also present the maximum window size each compressor supports. What we can see from the table is the maximum window size is only 1 gigabyte from 7Z. And that if similar blocks are separated further away more than many gigabytes or terabytes, these compressors will not be able to find. And if we run these three compressors, we will get this throughput versus compression factor curve. GZIP is using a rather small window. It doesn't compress well, but runs really fast. And 7Z is another extreme that uses a much larger window. It compresses really well. But it is the slowest. So what we can get from this figure is, in general, the larger the window, the better the compression, but also slower. RZIP is another compressor we consider. RZIP is different from the previous three compressors in the sense that it first does an intro file deduplication, and then it uses BZIP2 to compress the remainder. Because it is doing deduplication, and the deduplication effectively reduces the actual data that will be compressed by the compressor. It achieves a comparable compression factor as 7Z, but it is faster than 7Z. There are mainly two motivations for this work. The first is to compress a single large file. We know that traditional compressors are not be able to exploit the similarities set across a large range, such as many gigabytes. So give you an example, for this input file, we mark the similar blocks in the same color. GZIP is using a rather small window, and thus it may not even be able to explore the similarity between A and A prime. 7Z is using a much larger window. However, it may still not be able to explore the similarity between A and A double prime. Then if we use the standard compressors to compress this input file, we might get something as shown on the left bottom. Block A double prime and B prime are not compressed well because they are further away at the end of this file. What we propose for this case is called the MZIP. So for MZIP, the input file will first be transferred such that similar blocks are next to each other. And then we use standard compressors to compress it. And it will compress better because non-similar blocks are next to each other. The second motivation for this work is to improve compression for long-term retention. So the use case we consider is data migration from the backup tier to archive tier for deduplication storage systems. So observation we made is that in the backup tiers, similar blocks could be scattered across different compression regions. So I show such an example here. A compression region here means the unit of data that is compressed together. So in the example, I show that block A and A prime are actually compressed in two different compression regions. So the current practice to do data migration from backup tier to the archive tier is simply copying compression regions from these two tiers. And we might get something like this. What we propose is, during this data migration, we could actually do more work to identify similar blocks and then compress similar blocks into the same compression region, and thus improve compressibility and reduce the disk space consumption for the archive tier. Okay, so to recap, we propose migratory compression. The idea is to improve compressibility by grouping similar blocks. We mainly consider two user cases: mzip compress a single large file, and the data migration for archive storage. There are a few other considerations, such as how to identify similar blocks or how to reorganize the data blocks efficiently. But before I dive into such details, I would like to introduce the high-level workflow for mzip, which is compress a single large file. So in mzip, given the input file, we will use a segmentation tool to partition it into blocks, and then we calculate the similarity features for each block. And I will talk about similarity features in a few slides. Then we use the similarity detector to identify duplicate and similar blocks. It will output two recipes, the migrate recipe and the restore recipe. And then we use a reorganizer to generate the reorganized file. Please note that at the beginning of the reorganized file, we store the restore recipe. And we use standard compressors to compress the reorganized file. Note that the reorganized file could exist only as a pipe between the reorganizer and the compressor. And during decompression, the reorganized file will first decompress, and we extract the restore recipes, and the restorer will recreate the input file, the original file. So here is a concrete example. Given the input file, we will partition it into blocks, and the similarity features for each block will be calculated. Then we use a similarity detector to detect duplicate and similar blocks, and it will output two recipes. So in this example, the migrate recipe tells us that we need to put A prime to be next to A and B prime to be next to B. And the reorganizer will generate the reorganized file, and it will be compressed. And during decompression, the reorganized file will be decompressed, and we recreate the original file based on the restore recipe. For detecting similar blocks, we use a mature technique called the similarity feature. It was invented by Broad more than 10 years ago. So we use a strong hash to detect duplicate block, and we use a few weak hashes, which are also called features, to provide hints about the similarity among blocks. And two blocks are similar if they share some of the features. And this is a mature technique which had been applied in a few other projects, such as redundant elimination at the block level and one optimized replication. So for data reorganization, what it does is to rearrange the input file based on the recipe. This is what the reorganizer and the restore will do. So one intuitive approach to do data reorganization is simply for every block required by the recipe, you go to that location and you fetch that block. And the animation shows such an example. So from this example, we can see that this approach involves many random IOs. If we can fit the input file in memory, or if we have an SSD to store the input file, then this approach works fine. However, if we don't have an SSD, or the file is too large, and the file is too large to fit in memory, then this will become problematical. So for such cases, we propose an optimization called the multi-path approach. So assume we have a memory buffer of three data blocks. We scan the input file multiple times, and for the first scan, we scan it and then get the first three blocks. And it continues. For the next scan, it will get us the next three blocks, and this process continues until we get all the data blocks. So what is this approach effectively does is to convert random IOs into several sequential scans. And our evaluation shows that it does improve throughput. So for evaluation, for MZIP, I will first talk about how much compression we can improve with the migratory compression. Then I will show what the complexity is. For complexity, I mainly means runtime overhead. So to measure the complexity, we store the input and output in memory to avoid any disk I/O. Then we looked into what will happen if we store the input file in an SSD or HDD. And for the hard disk drive, how much improve we can get from the multi-pass approach. And in the paper, we did a few more evaluations, such as comparing migratory compression with data compression. We also explored the configuration options to do migratory compression. Please refer to our paper for more details. And at last, I will present the result for data migration for archive tier. So to evaluate MZIP, we use a few data sets. There are three types. Two of them are backups, and one is a virtual machine disk image. And for each data type, I only present one data set. Please refer to our paper for others. And in the table, I present the file size, the deduplication factor, and the compression factors for standard compressors. And these compression factors will be used as the baseline for comparison. So one thing to note is that data application factors for exchange email backups are very low. Now let's have a look at what we can get when we add a migratory compression to standard compressors. So the figure here shows results for workstation one data set. The horizontal direction shows the compression factor. The vertical direction shows throughput. So if we run standard gzip, we get about 20 megabytes per second and 2x compression factor. Then if we add the migratory compression to gzip, both compression factors and throughput are improved. And the same applies for the other three compressors. There are mainly two sources for this improvement. First is we are doing deduplication. And the deduplication effectively reduces the actual data that the compressor needed to compress and decompress. And it improves the throughput and the compression factor. We also found that data reorganization also helps to improve compression factor and the throughput. So this figure shows the same results, but for Exchange 2 data set. We note that compression factors are improved, but there's a slight drop in throughput. The main difference between this data set and the previous one is that Exchange email backups have very low deduplication factor. And that deduplication doesn't help much for improving compression. Then the overhead to do a migratory compression become evident. We know that compressors can be run at various compression level and with different window sizes, basically to make a trade-off between runtime and compressibility. So on this slide, we are trying to answer the question whether we can get the same benefits as migratory compression by simply running the compressors at its maximum configuration. So the figure here shows the results for workstation one. So if we run 7z with the default parameters, we get about 3 megabytes per second throughput and 4x compression factor. And if we run 7z with its maximum parameters, the compression factor is improved to be 6x, but it runs slow. Then, if we run 7z with migratory compression with default parameters, both compression factors and the throughput are improved. And the same applies for the cases when we add a migratory compression for 7z with maximum parameters. Results for other compressors have the same trend. From this figure, we know that migratory compression does benefit compressors that are running with its maximum parameters. Now let's have a look at the compilation factor breakdown from each of these techniques. In microlithic compilations, we first does deduplication, and it usually gives 1x to 2x compilation factor. And the blue bars shows the additional compilation factors we can get by doing gzip after doing deduplication. So gzip makes another significant contribution. Then the brown bars shows the additional compilation factors we can get by doing data reorganization. We found that the contribution are actually quite significant, and it varies depending on data sets. Now let's have a look at what throughput we can get when we actually have a disk I/O involved. So for this case, we mainly consider three configurations. The first is the memory case. So for the memory case, we store both input and output in a temp office, and there is no disk I/O involved. Then for the SSD case and the HDD case, we store the input file either in the SSD or HDD, and we store the output file at an HDD. And we artificially limited the memory size to be 8 GB. And the memory case always give us the highest throughput because there is no disk I/O involved. Then if we use SSD to store the input file, it gives a reasonably good performance. Then if we use a hard disk drive to store the input file, we found that the intuitive block approach gives a much worse performance. And with the multi-pass approach, it does improve the throughput. One thing to note is for the Ubuntu tool, it is a special case in that it is the file size is only 7 GB, and we are using 8 GB of memory. And for the multi-pass approach, we use a 4.8 GB window, and it needs two scans. It looks like the PG cache is doing a better job in this case. From what we can learn from this is that for data reorganization, SSD gives a reasonably good performance, and for the HDD case, we can use the multi-pass approach to improve throughputs. Now let's have a look at data migration for archive storage. So we use data domain file system. Data domain file system use LZ to compress in the backup tier because it runs faster. For the archive tier, it uses GZ to compress. So when we migrate data from the backup tier to the archive tier, it first uncompress LZ and then recompress with GZ to get a better compression. So when we add microlithic compression to data migration process, we will try to identify similar blocks and then compress them into the same compression region in order to see the different compression factors we get for different cluster size of similar blocks. So we sort the similar blocks by the cluster size. And then we migrate in three stages, and during the first stage, we migrate the top third largest clusters, and then the middle third. And the bottom third includes some distinct blocks. And we use four data sets. One of them is workstations, which contain many backups of several workstations. And we also use three other exchange email backups. So the black bar here shows the baseline compilation factor we can gather from gzip. And the green bar shows the compilation factors we get when we add a microlithic compression to the baseline. We can see the improvement are quite significant. And the yellow and the red bars shows the compilation factors for the top and the middle third. And the blue bar shows for compilation factor for the bottom third. So the lessons we learned from this is microlithic compression does improve compression factor for data migration for archive storage. The improvement ranges from 44% to more than 150 for workstations. And the top two thirds compress really well. Because migratory compression improves compressibility for archival storage, it reduces the disk space consumptions and saves money. There are some overhead associated with doing migratory compression for data migration. We found that the runtime for migrating Exchange 1 data set is almost 3 times longer. This is because of the additional computation and I/O involved. And then the read performance also becomes worse. So that is because now the data is more fragmented across the file system. So to read back the entire Exchange 1 data set, now it takes 1.3 times longer. And it takes 7 times longer to read back the final backup. However, if we only reorganize the top third, then the increase in runtime is only 24%. This is bad, but it seems to be fine for the archival storage. And there are also some memory overhead involved as well. There are a few related works. Some looks into improve traditional compressors, such as by using a large window, doing deduplication, and sorting characters within a single block. Data compression is another similar technique in that it also try to find similar blocks. We did a compression between migratory compression and data compression. We found that migratory compression is slightly better. Data compression is also more complex to implement in file systems because of the complexity involved in bookkeeping. There are also a few works that use the same technique to detect similar blocks, such as when optimized replication and redundant elimination at block level. Okay, to conclude, we propose the migratory compression. It is a generic pre-processing stage that can improve compressibility by grouping similar blocks. When using this to compress a single large file, we found that it improves existing compressors in both compressibility and frequently runtime. It redraws the performance versus compression curve. And when using this for, technique for archive storage, it reduces dollars per gigabyte even further. Thank you very much. With that, I would like to take questions.
I have two questions. Cornel Constantinescu from IBM Almaden Research. I have two questions. So first, from what you showed, you rearrange the blocks.
Yes.
And then to uncompress, you have to uncompress all the stuff and then rearrange the block again, no?
So you're saying during decompression, we need to restore the... So
you need to uncompress all the compressed stuff. No, you cannot uncompress few blocks and then try to reconstruct, or if you want random access somehow.
I probably don't quite understand your question.
So to decompress the file?
During decompression, sometimes it also runs faster because we are doing deduplication. So you.
I understand.
Okay, okay.
But you have to reconstruct all the blocks in raw format, not in compressed form. So your method has two levels. No, one is rearranging the block and one compressing. So to reconstruct, you have to uncompress and then reshuffle the block in the original form.
I think for the MZIP case, we uncompress the whole file and then we...
Okay, that was the question. So
yeah.
I saw that you have some kind of
no
partial uncompression because a gigabyte to uncompress takes about half a minute or more. So, and the second, I thought a similar or somewhat similar compression method is, I think that by Bentley and McIlroy, that was used in big table in Google. I don't know if you compare it somewhat.
We are not aware of that work, probably. Maybe you can.
Yeah, so the name is. Yeah, the name is.
Yeah. You're welcome to point it to us.
Okay, Ethan Miller, UC Santa Cruz. First of all, it's very interesting work. I kind of like the idea. One thing I'm wondering about, though, is if you're doing this on very large streams for archiving and you rearrange the blocks sufficiently so you put all the similar ones together,
yeah.
If you squeeze all the redundancy out, how does that impact reliability? If you do it the naive way and you've got A and A prime on striped across different devices, if A goes, you get A prime back. Now you put all of them together, and if that one block goes away, you end up losing all your data, you don't, you know, because you put everything together. Is that, have you thought about that or how to deal with that yet?
I don't think we thought about that. Yeah.
Okay. It's a concern mostly for the archival stuff because you squeeze all the redundancy out and then you got to make sure you add it back in again. That's all.
Yeah, I think it's a trade-off. If you want to put two similar blocks further away to improve the reliability, then you go that way. And if you want to better compression, you go this way.
Okay. All right. Great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hi, Jay Lorch, Microsoft Research. This is a really cool idea and great work. So it seems that all of your experiments and all of your work so far, you've kept the compressor the same. You haven't modified it. Are you starting to look at modifying the compressor itself to make it reorganization aware so it can do reorganization in place?
No, I think one reason that we don't modify the compressors itself is that this can be used as a generic preprocessing stage that can benefit all the compressors. And if there are improvements in compressors, they can get the same benefits by just doing this as a separate preprocessing stage.